Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello, everybody there in internet land. I'm excited today to bring you a show with a good friend of mine, a psychic medium, Kim Moore. She's going to talk about mediumship, her newly released book, Life After Life, A Guide to Connecting with Your Loved Ones in the Spirit World. Kim has been working as both a psychic and evidential medium in the Denver metro area for the past 12 years. She came to mediumship through her own personal loss and has found her passion in helping others connect to their loved ones in spirit and by empowering those in the living world to live their lives authentically through guidance and inspiration. She recently published her book that I just mentioned, and we're going to talk about that today. Kim believes love never dies and that our bonds of love are eternal no matter the situation, that we all have the ability to make the same connection. Kim studied with a wide variety of mediums for years, with mediums and psychics, and she teaches others how to do psychic and medium readings as well, and understanding their own path and inner guidance. And we'll make sure that we have a say her website at the end. You can also go on to Cynthia Rose Medium group on Facebook, type any questions you have. I'd like to welcome Kim to the show. Are you here, Kim?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. So fun to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So I thought I'd start first with just a little bit about the beginning of your journey, about you becoming a medium. I must say I admire your commitment to the spirit world, your commitment to, you decided you want to do it and you did it. I want to let you start out maybe by sharing a little bit about who you are.
Well, a little bit about who I am, that might be like a whole other show, but let me tell you about how I started doing this. I started doing this because my boyfriend, father of my children, committed suicide in 2004, and I was left wanting him, wanting answers, not understanding where, you know, how death could be so permanent. Now, I had experienced death before, but they'd only been like my grandparents, not anyone as close to me as this. And so I wanted to talk to him. So I kind of called into a local radio station here in Denver, and I called in, and I was super skeptical and everything. And I called in, and I got this awesome reading, which really just kind of impacted me so much in the sense of relief that I felt knowing he was okay, knowing he was still with me and our children, and that even though he had died that way, it didn't mean he was suffering. And it just brought me so much relief that I just decided in that moment that this is what I wanted to do with my life. And so after that, I started reading, and then I took some classes locally, and then I just started doing readings based on my skill at the time. And I've continued to improve and grow since then. And it really has shown me, though, that anyone can become a psychic or a medium. But the level to which maybe you succeed or do it is kind of based on how passionate you are about it, how much you love it. And I just happen to love this work. So that day I, might have lost my boyfriend temporarily. But I fell in love with this work, and I've just been in love with it ever since, and I still am.
That's beautiful. I call that, you know, using the silver lining, taking something that must have been horrific to go through and turning that around into something beautiful. So you're kind of like an alchemist there.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well,
that's beautiful.
I think that a lot of things in life that aren't so great, we can turn them around and make them work for us. And this was a pretty horrible situation, and I just found a way to make it work for me in a way that continues to, like, inspire and fulfill me.
I agree. I think that compassion, we need more compassion in this world, and those of us that go through difficult times and come out on the other side understand that compassion is the way, and that it's something to pass on to others. It's really important. If we had more of
exactly.
it, we might have a better world already, right?
I agree. If we could just for a moment, just stand in someone else's shoes, just to think about what it might be like to be in their experience, that can provide compassion, empathy, beautiful stuff, beautiful things. And it's great for this work, but it's also just great for everyday life to be compassionate and just connect with people in the most real way that we can.
That's wonderful. Now, you teach mediumship too. Now, what do you say to somebody that says, you know, I would really like to do mediumship, but I don't think I can do it at all? I know what I would say, but you're the guest here.
Well, I'm pretty sure you and I might say something similar, but I always tell people that anyone can be a medium, because I am an anyone, as far as I'm concerned. I'm just a regular person. I didn't grow up with this or anything like that. It wasn't in my background in any way. And so I am a firm believer that anyone can do this work, but and this is what I would say to someone who is a student. I would say, give it a shot. See how it works for you. Give yourself the benefit of the doubt, because we're all connected to the spirit world. We're connected to our own soul. We're connected to the souls of others that live in our daily world, in our life. And then we're connected to the souls of those in the spirit world. And I would also tell people that, you know, we feel those soul-to-soul connections here, and we can read people or kind of feel how they're doing just intuitively. And so those souls in the spirit world are still connected to us through love, and we can still feel them just as much as we could somebody standing across the way from us.
Absolutely. And I think it's important just to mention for the listeners, I know I've never had anyone come through who's committed suicide who has said, oh, I'm doing terrible. In fact, I've never had anyone come through and say I'm stuck or I'm doing terrible. They're always in a good place. Yeah?
Exactly. They're always in a good place. And no matter, you know, what it was like for them here, it's very different in the spirit world because they don't have any of the human experiences going on. And so they're healing in the spirit world, and they watch over us. And as we heal, they heal. And as they heal, we heal. But it's this healing partnership with the spirit world, and they're all in a good healing place. I've never gotten messages saying anything like that, like, oh, I'm doing terrible, or I wish I was still alive. That doesn't happen.
Yeah. And also, I love what you said about we heal, they heal. I have felt sometimes the heaviness of their concern for the person still here or someone that they love still here. And as that person gets lighter, you can feel them get lighter. They're one.
I know. And it's absolutely beautiful to just watch it unfold. You know, like I know, even just in my own personal experience, I know that my person in spirit world, his name's Mike, we'll just call him Mike. You know, he had a lot of healing to do from being here in the living world. But, you know, he didn't have to worry about his bills anymore or, you know, dealing with kids or anything. He is just in the spirit world able to heal on his own. But as he has healed, I have done my own healing. And in partnership with his spirit and my spirit, I continue to be able to heal myself, and he continues to be able to heal in the spirit world. And it's just this beautiful, it's this beautiful thing that, you know, shows really the oneness of everything, how we're connected and the similarities and the healing that those in the spirit world and those in the living world need.
I totally agree. Now, one of the things, so you got the desire to write a book, and tell us why you wrote your book. It's a wonderful book for any of you that are interested in connecting with loved ones or looking at a medium, but let's let Kim tell us a little bit about why she wrote the book.
Well, I wrote it because after all these years of doing this, I realized that I, you know, as the medium, am merely, you know, the telephone for the day in that communication. But those loved ones really want to connect with us. They want to connect with us personally because that's where the bond of love is. So I thought I would write kind of like a little handbook or a guide that tells people different ways they can connect and also answers like some of the most commonly asked questions I get, you know, like what they're doing in the spirit world. Where are they now? Are they okay? You know, people ask me, how long till I can talk to a medium? And in the book, there's also information about how to find a medium, how to find one in your area, what to look for. And then a ton of signs in the book. And actually,
let's go to the signs in the next section. But you said something about the how long do you think people should wait to go to a medium? They want to connect with someone.
I guess what I would say is it's really up to the person coming for the reading, because those in the your loved ones in the spirit world, there's not necessarily like a time delay in the connection. So I have connected with spirits that have passed like within a day, within a week, within a year, within 20 years. It doesn't matter. It's really up to the person who wants to come for the reading, you know, like it depends where you're at and whether you need that connection, whether you want to make that connection, whether you're not seeing enough signs in your day-to-day that you need some validation that they're still around. It would depend on the person coming for the reading is what I would say. But I think the spirits are always there ready to talk.
Yeah, I agree. But what I don't understand is sometimes I've had somebody that passed yesterday and the next day I'm bringing them through and it's been kind of cloudy. And I've had someone that passed the same amount of time and it's very clear. And so, you know, it makes me, I wonder, has that soul maybe already knew how to communicate in another time? Did they already have that sense they could? Maybe some of us pass and already know we can do it. And some of us pass and we have to figure it out. Maybe that's sometimes why it's stronger or not stronger, but really I won't know till I'm there.
I know, right? but I mean, I agree with you. Like that could be part of it. I think part of it too, or at least in my understanding is that also like souls that are unconscious before they pass away, sometimes I'm able to connect with them pretty quickly, pretty clearly. And I just noticed that maybe it's because their soul had already detached or was already in the spirit world for more than just the day since their passing. They could have been, you know, they could have had severe dementia or been comatose or unable to speak for a while. And so their soul might be in the spirit world just waiting for that chance to connect. But maybe not. That's the thing is that it's all theories because I don't know because I'm not there.
Yeah, the dementia thing is really interesting because I've connected with someone who's still here as if they've passed, and that person gave evidence to validate that I had connected with. I mean, it was like so bizarre. So I kind of formed this idea that dementia is someone who lives on both sides of the veil.
You know what? I agree with you.
And so that kind of gives us a whole different way of looking at dementia, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, it's not just dementia. There's a lot of diseases and things that happen to people where they're unconscious or not able to communicate, even people who've had severe paralysis with stroke. I've had come through in a reading and offer evidence that it was them, and yet they're in a nursing home or they're far away, because I do think that when the body is suffering at some, I don't know, some way, we're able to disconnect. We're able to pull away from that. So, I don't know. That's just my theory. It's another theory that I have.
Yeah, something we'll know. But, yeah, I just find that fascinating. Actually, it comforts me, because the thought of someone being in dementia and being all alone used to bother me. But then to realize that they're never alone, that someone's always with them, makes it so much easier, I think, for those of us here.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's comforting to know that those who are kind of trapped in their body, so to speak, are able to be free and be connected with the spirit world, even if their body still is living. So I think that's awesome. And I talk about that, too, in the book. As well, because that is a question I get asked fairly often. And that's my opinion on this subject. You and I agree.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're good friends. Kim's a good friend of mine. Yeah. That's why it's so fun. It's just like we're having another one of our lunches, having a conversation, and people are listening.
That's very true, except this will be shorter than our lunches.
It will be shorter, yes. So I know we're going to a break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about signs from loved ones with Kim Moore, psychic and medium Kim Moore. See you in a couple of minutes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back. We are talking to psychic medium Kim Moore, who's located in the Denver metro area. And we're talking about her book and mediumship. And we're going to delve in, I think, and talking about signs from loved ones. What about it, Kim? What are some of the common signs from loved ones, and what are some of the more rare signs from loved ones?
Well, I think there's a lot of really common signs from loved ones, and those are listed in my book, the most common ones that I can think of. And they include everything like from finding feathers, from seeing a shape of a heart in the clouds, from feeling your loved ones, like getting goosebumps, finding pennies on the ground, seeing their favorite animal or hearing their name, gates connected with them, problems with electronics, electricity, seeing numbers, somebody's birthday, things like that. And did I mention pennies? That's a big one. and like shooting stars and smelling your loved ones. Those are all just a like wide variety of very common signs that they're able to give. And that would be something that could happen on a very consistent basis. So one of the signs that I see all the time is 9/12. And that was the day that Mike passed away. And so I see it everywhere. I see it on license plates. I see it on my total at the grocery store. I'll be reading an article and I'll see 9/12 in the article. It's everywhere. And the more I acknowledge it, the more it happens. The more I say thank you for that sign, the more it happens, and the more it happens when I need it. So when I'm taking the kids to the doctor's appointment, or when I am having something stressful going on, I'll see more of a prevalence at that time, because he knows, that's how I know he's around, is that 9/12. And so the more we honor it, it builds.
No, go ahead. Yeah. That, I think what you're saying and reinforcing at the end is so important, that the more that you thank him and honor it and thank you for giving that, the more he comes through to let you know. That's
exactly
huge.
And I think it's so important with the spirit world to acknowledge the signs they give, even if we're questioning it, you know, even if we're like, I think that might be from my father, but I'm not sure. Just thank him. And the thing is if you make the association and you thank him, then those signs will start to appear more, because he knows that when you see that penny, you think of him. And so you will see more of that. And the way that they do it is, it's not like he's creating the penny, but he's inspiring you to look when you're in the presence of a penny. So that's how they connect with us, and that's how all the signs really work, is through inspiration. They inspire us to look or to feel or turn down a certain street or change the radio station. And in that inspiration, we get the sign that we need.
Yeah, that's a good point, because otherwise everybody's going to be saying, well, how did they get that penny there? No, they didn't place that penny there. They're impressing their energy upon you to see that penny.
Yeah, the best analogy I can think of is like when I've lost my car keys and I'm looking and I can't find them, and then all of a sudden it pops in my head, oh, you left them here, and then I'm able to find them. And that's how the spirit world works, is they can just have that thought pop in, that inspiration pop in your head, and then it will inspire you to look or turn or go to a certain store or be at the right place at the right time, so that you can get that message.
I love that. My husband's father has passed, and he would find pennies all the time. And I said, well, why don't you ask him to send you more than a penny? So he started finding dimes and quarters after that. So now he finds dimes and quarters.
That's nice. That's an upgrade. I didn't know they'd do that, but I guess that works. And that would work.
Yeah.
I would like to find like $100 bills. That would be part of my plan.
I keep asking for the lottery numbers, but it hasn't shown up yet.
I know. Well, they've shown up, just not in any particular order.
That's true. Actually, I think once the lottery numbers, I had some lottery numbers I chose, and I didn't play them that week. That happened to me once. And
oh, really? So
That happened to me once. I didn't buy a ticket, and I had written the numbers. I'm not sure if I had five or six numbers, but I just kind of, I didn't want to double check at that point. I was like, okay, forget it.
I know. I wouldn't have either. I would have just thrown that paper away and just forgotten all about it.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. Yeah, if I were to win the big lottery, I think I'm going to clean up the oceans and make a difference. And no secret, I'm a big ocean lover. So not that I don't love humans too, but the oceans are important for us. So.
Yeah, I like the oceans too, and the sky, and the water, and the earth. Yeah. People are okay, but I like those things. Oh, you asked me for what was like a more rare sign.
Yes.
And I wouldn't say it's more rare, but it's kind of different. Different than seeing the butterfly or seeing the hummingbird or finding the penny or something. It's a little different. I remember, I'll give you an example. I remember I was in a diner on Long Island with my dad. And we were just eating. It was the middle of the day. And we were talking about his mom. And I never met her. That's my grandma. But I never got a chance to meet her. And he was talking about her and what she was like when he was a kid and how he wished she could have met me. And so at that moment, over in the corner of the diner, some of the waitresses started singing this song, and I can't remember what it was, but it's like, no, I can't remember what it is. It was an odd song, and I'd never heard it before. And they were singing it, and my dad, like, the reaction, he was looking at me and looking at the ladies and looking at me and looking at the ladies, and he said, my mom used to sing that song to me when I was a kid. And aww. I was like, oh, well, that's her visiting. And he got kind of choked up about it because it's his mom and he loved her. But it was just such a weird thing that but it was all synchronicity. It all happened perfectly. So it's not the type of thing where you could say like, oh, you heard their favorite song or, oh, you saw that penny. But it is something where all the kind of stars aligned. And he was talking about her, and these people were nowhere next to us, and they just burst out into this song for somebody's birthday over in the corner. And so those kinds of beautiful little synchronicities, I think, are some of the best signs ever.
Yes, synchronicity is there are no accidents. There are only synchronicities. Whether we choose to see it or not, it is the truth. So, So what about, I know sometimes we ask a question and we don't get it answered right away. So I just want to share. I have a spirit circle group, and last week they were practicing reading, and I called loved ones to come forth, and I had someone else sitting there as well. Only somebody for me came forth and actually answered a question I had asked about 2 weeks ago. And so I just wanted to remind people that you may ask a question, but you've got to stay open for it to be answered when it's answered. And it may be that it was answered before, but I had asked for it to come through someone else this time instead of now. Why would a medium want to have somebody else bring the message? Because we both love getting messages, right?
Yes, but my own messages, I don't know. It's a little different. It's a different kind of connection to spirit, I think, when it's for me from like Mike or someone I love. I'm sure it is for you too. Like sometimes it's nice to hear it from somewhere else than hear it in the same, I don't know, in the same thought process of where you would connect with someone else's loved one. It's just, I question it a little bit more. So sometimes I like it when somebody else tells me.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And, I asked my loved one a question that had to do with, you know, I wonder how you think of me now because I wasn't able to see them as much. And, you know, I know they loved me, but I wasn't really sure how deep that connection was or what kind of connection it was. I've had a very unconventional life. and
I know.
Or who knows what a conventional life is anyways, but it was answered in that evidence, which is the kind of mediumship that we do. It's called evidential mediumship. For those of you wondering, there's different kinds of mediumship out there. And I just want to point out, evidential mediumship is going to give you information about who they were. And if they come through, if they were, you know, really sharp and curt and grumpy on the other side, they're going to come through that way only so you know that's them. Doesn't mean they're in that, they're still grumpy, right?
Yeah, very true. And what's really beautiful about what I notice is that when I do a reading for someone, I definitely hit on who they were when they were here. But what's really beautiful about evidential mediumship, I think, is that when you can really discuss and kind of flesh out who they were here, you can also bring forward who they are now, who they were, who they are. And who they are is a healed soul, a soul that's going through its own healing. So that soul might identify some of the stuff that was going on in their life, but they'll show how they healed from that. And I think that is so awesome, especially in cases where someone dies very tragically or commits suicide, to see how they're doing now. Or, you know, if it was like your dad who never spent time with you, to know that he's still connected to you in the spirit world and making up for that now, or being close to you now. It's a very beautiful kind of healing thing that goes on in that back and forth with the spirit world.
Yeah, that it is really interesting how those ties are. Who knows the reason that sometimes a loved one needs to be with us in spirit as we're here. Those things we'll understand when we're there. One thing I wanted to bring up, what about when someone comes for a mediumship reading and that person, they go there because they want that person to apologize and they don't apologize? You know, I know, I'd like to hear your views on that. What do you think that's about?
I feel like that is, well, my thoughts are that I feel like we heal in the spirit world, right? So just like here, sometimes that takes a minute. We're not like healed right away, or there's not like when people die, they don't have this extraordinary epiphany about like everything they've done wrong. I think that it's the slow healing process that we go through to see how we affected others, and then we slowly work to heal from that. And it's all kind of like free will in the universe. So I think that, and what I've noticed, and this has come through in readings before, is I may say, you know, I have this person here and they're not apologizing, but I do see that they're aware of this, this, and this, and this, and they're working to heal from that. And so I've had people that have come to me like once a year for maybe like 2 years. And then that third year, then the apology comes. And I don't necessarily remember who they are every time, but my clients are the ones who tell me that. They say, you know, the first time I came, he didn't talk about this at all. The second time he talked about it, but wouldn't say he's sorry. And now he says he's sorry. And so sometimes there's a gradual evolution. I think just like human beings, there's a gradual evolution of the spirit in order to heal. Like that, but that's my theory.
I absolutely agree with you. And I remember doing a reading where the family really wanted the mother to apologize. And the mother was saying to me, it wouldn't be my way to say I'm sorry, but I'm very aware about how I affected them. And I do have regret. And that's the way I'm going to say it, because that's who I was. And that wasn't good enough for them. And I was left thinking that she was trying to heal with them. And I kind of was left thinking, you know, it's forgiveness on this side that needs to happen, because she's being true to her personality. She's saying, well, I wouldn't go, oh, I'm so sorry. She was incredibly stubborn. And that's why I remember that. And the fact when they wouldn't forgive her, She got mad, which is exactly what they said she would do. So I was left thinking, maybe they missed a chance here, that this is a communication where things can be healed in that office, in that reading at that time. But if we're not open to the forgiveness on our end, then we're blocking even knowing that that forgiveness is there.
I think that's 100% true. And I think that's true, whether we're living or spirit. You know, like it, forgiveness is a hard thing. And letting go of the way people treat you is a hard thing. But I just learned that, I learned that all I can do is heal what I have to heal here while I'm here. So I try to be the best me that I can be as often as I can. And I've learned that from being in, from being connected to the spirit world, which is to do the best you can, you know, right your wrongs as much as you can, and just keep moving forward. And I know, though, that not everyone's in that place. So I have had, you know, people come for readings and they're expecting something. They're wanting that message. But it really is about where the soul is at, but also where we're at. And if we're ready to hear it, if we're ready to let it go, if we're ready to forgive. And maybe they just weren't ready at that time.
Yeah, that could be. So I just, for those of you that might be in the Denver area, I was going to mention that Kim and I are doing two galleries at the Denver Body, Mind, Spirit Fair. I think we're March 17th and 18th. Is that right, Kim?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So we'll both be there and we'll be doing two-hour galleries on both days, very reasonable price. You can go to BMSE.net if you're interested, if you're in the Denver area. I think at some point we might even end up in the Chicago area. So we're going to go to a break and then we'll be back for the last section with Kim Moore.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Are we there? Hello? Are we back?
So.
I'm not sure what happened if we... Okay. I don't know what happened. It just went bleep. I must have been spirit. So before I forget, Kim, if people are interested in picking up your book, where and how can they get your book?
I will be out at the fair. I'll have my book, or you can just order it through my website, readingsbykim.com.
Okay, that's terrific. Yes, there'll be a book signing and Q&A after both sessions. and I'll have my CDs for sale as well. So we're talking about Kim Moore's book, Connecting with Loved Ones. Something else you'd like to share from the book that you think would be good for our audience today?
Well, you know what? You had asked me earlier, like, what inspired me to write the book. And, excuse me, I had totally forgotten my sign that got me into this book. In 2016, at the end of the year, I was writing on my Facebook page different signs that people might see, and I asked them to share their stories, and a lot of those stories are in my book, and so are people's photographs that are my clients as well, of their different signs that they've received. But I was working on something, and I wasn't sure how to proceed, and I asked for a sign, and I said, it has to be big, and you have to let me know it's okay, and please let me know it's okay, it's okay. And that was exactly how I said it. So I am kind of a road trippy kind of girl, so I like to go on little road trips. So I was driving around, and I ended up on these weird streets, and I was turning, and as I got to the end, the road sign said I was on OK Road. And I don't know if there's any bigger sign to do something OK than to be on OK Road. And so that kind of inspired me to push forward with this in letting people know what the different signs are. And then I thought, why not answer questions too? And so just so your listeners know, anyone listening to this, there's also stuff in there also about grieving as well. Things to say to someone who's passed away. I mean, say not someone who's passed away, but to their loved one grieving left behind. Because sometimes we say things that they don't really speak to the situation or to the heart of the person that you're talking to. Like, for example, when someone dies, to say time heals all wounds, I know that's true. You know that's true. But sometimes that's not what you want to hear. Sometimes you just need a hug and someone to tell you, I'm sorry that happened. And so I added that to the book about grieving because of my experiences after Mike died and how people acted toward me. And I know they were trying to be very helpful, but it was very painful. And in my experience with people that I've had as clients, they've had similar experiences. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool if you knew what not to say or different ways to say that kind of heartfelt love that you have for someone and what they're going through?
Yeah, that's grieving is a tough process. I can remember when I lost my mom, I was pretty damn mad at her for leaving me. I was like, hey, you left me. And it didn't matter that she was on my shoulder nattering at me. I was still mad at her, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to get through that. And, you know, if you are, it can be helpful to go to a medium to have that communication. And some people need more than that. Some people need a grief support group so that they can, you know, talk it out, or they need counseling. But a medium is a great way to hear that they're still around and they can still hear you. I tend to think of our job as mediums is to help people to realize that they can still communicate with their loved ones, and we're just the confirmation.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we do as mediums, is remind people that they have the connection on their own.
Yeah. Have you ever had somebody come through and say, you know, I'd rather talk directly to them?
I've had, well, kind of. I think what I've had that sounds like that is that I've had, and very often I have loved ones come through and offer the signs that they give and say, this is how I'm showing you that I'm around and that I love you. Please pay attention. And wanting to make that connection from the sitter, the person who's coming for the reading, to their loved one in the spirit world, they want that direct communication. So I think that often they'll share signs and other information so that the person, when they leave the reading, have a way to connect with them later if they're not, you know, connecting in the way that we connect, so that they can look for signs from them or other things that remind them of their loved one.
That's exactly how I get to. When I get that kind of sensation, I know they're trying to say, you're not paying attention to me, or, you know, I've been trying to. And quite often, actually, the client will say, you know, they have been giving me signs and I've just been kind of ignoring them.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, or okay, that's a confirmation right there.
Yeah. Or just even when you say it, they're like, well, I see that all the time. And it's like, well, yeah, this is why you see that all the time, because they're trying to talk to you. So I think that our loved ones in the spirit world do everything that they can to kind of connect with us without a medium. But if we are unclear or not trusting it, which I think is the human condition, then seeing a medium is very beneficial. But also, when you're grieving, sometimes seeing a counselor can be helpful as well.
Yes. So what about, how would you recommend somebody go and find a medium, or how do they know which medium to go to? How do they know they're going to have an evidence-based medium? I know there's other mediums that call themselves channels, and channel and medium, I think, are used so interchangeably. I've had people come and said, oh, I've been to a medium before, but then when you start bringing the evidence, it's not what they had. So, you know, how do they know they're going to someone that's going to give evidence as opposed to a channel that's not about the evidence?
Or well, what do you have to share? I think the first thing is, you know, to call. Like, when you schedule an appointment, you should be able to talk either to the person or whoever's scheduling for them and get that question answered. Are they an evidence-based medium? And just, you know, with that from the get-go. The other thing, though, I think the best way to find a medium, I know there's lots of famous mediums on TV and all that other stuff, but I think word of mouth is awesome. And I think also, you know, people's reviews online, they're not always, the review process isn't always 100% awesome. But if you find someone who has good reviews, or maybe you watch some videos of them and you feel that rapport or that connection, or just where you've heard good things about them. But also make sure, you know, when you call to make an appointment, make sure that they're an evidence-based medium. Unless, you know, someone's opening to the channeling and healing mediumship and all of that, which doesn't necessarily provide evidence of who they were. If that's what somebody likes, then there's lots of mediums that do that. But if they want an evidential medium, they would just ask, whether they ask the medium directly or whoever handles their booking or sends them an email, anything like that before you schedule an appointment. Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I say to people, make sure that, you know, your instinct is, I think I'll feel comfortable with this person. Something feels right. I think most people have that I get in my office say somebody, either someone referred them or they looked at my picture, or they saw something and something inside of them said, go there. And I think that's why we have different mediums, because the person, I mean, you don't want to be with somebody that you're going to feel uncomfortable with and you don't want to talk to. And it's got to be someone you wouldn't, I think you probably would want to be able to sit down and have a cup of tea with them. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just someone that you, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it used to be very like hush hush behind the scenes, kind of like you know, you go to an alleyway or to a little place where there's a psychic. But like now, you can just go sit in an office, have a cup of tea, have some water, sit and talk, and then connect with your loved one, and then be on your way. It doesn't have to be anything heavy. It can actually be just kind of like sitting and talking with a friend for an hour. And in that hour, they recreate or rebuild your loved one kind of in front of you, with evidence of who they were, and then deliver the message, and then the spirit of your loved one leaves with you. And so I think it should just be this relaxing, kind of nice experience. Tears might be shed, but it's not meant to be all woo-woo and weird. It's just like a conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And I think all too often, you know, people want to know if their loved ones are okay. And I think it just bears repeating it again. Everybody is always okay. And you've probably got that in your book as well. I think I saw that in there about that your loved ones are always okay.
Absolutely. No matter how they die, they're doing fine over there. They don't have to worry about bills or losing weight or anything. They're doing good.
Yeah, but for Hollywood, you know, it makes sense that Hollywood is Hollywood, so there's got to be more drama if it's going to be on some kind of show about it. So I always laugh at the way mediums are represented in shows, because there's always that touch of, you know, are they ethical or not? And there are ethics in mediumship. Absolutely, there are ethics. If somebody comes, I know we're both like this. If someone comes and we didn't get any of their loved ones, we would not take their money, correct?
Yeah.
If somebody comes and go ahead.
I was just going to say, and like the celebrity mediumship stuff that you see, and I talked about this in my book, actually. So like, you see a medium go up to someone in the grocery store and start a reading, right? But I don't know about you, but it's never worked like that for me. And I think that ethically, that's not really okay to go up to a stranger the way it's put together for TV. But that's not actually what happened, because, you know, both people are mic'd up already during the course of the reading. Person who's getting the reading has obviously signed some release to be on television for them to
exactly.
be videotaping.
Exactly.
And it's cut off just for TV. So the parts of mediumship that are real, the parts where we aren't perfect and make mistakes along the way in our connection with spirit, are edited out on TV. And I think that gives kind of like a false image of what mediumship is, because we don't just go up to people in the street and we don't just say five things and then that's it, you know? So I think it's important to know that mediumship isn't like that. It's much more real world and very like connected to whoever your medium is and their style of communicating.
Absolutely. I think that there's so many misconceptions about that. I mean, mediumship to me is such a high focus kind of work, and we do get tired as mediums, so we have to, you know, if we're walking around open all the time, we're not going to be very good in our work, and we've got to recharge. So I tell people, I don't walk around open all the time. I'm not constantly in conversation. I go to work, I'm open. I leave, I'm closed. Sometimes people are trying to knock on the door, trying to say something, and I say, sorry, like, this is what I do. This is my livelihood, and I love myself, and I honor myself. There's got to be only so much that one can do. We've got to look after ourselves, too.
Exactly. And I mean, when people ask me that, I'm like, when I'm not doing mediumship, when I'm not doing readings, I go home and do the dishes and make dinner and watch TV and do all the things everyone else does. I'm not sitting there constantly connected to the spirit world, because that's not good for anyone. Is a different kind of energy that we use in our, you know, the energy we use in our day-to-day life is very different than what we use as mediums when we make those connections.
Yes.
I think.
Yes. I don't know. I know we're getting close to the end. I just want to make sure you mention your website and, you know, Facebook page, anything you want to give to people now if they want to make a note of it, if they want to connect with you.
Yeah. My website is readingsbykim.com. And I'm on Facebook under Medium and Psychic Kim Moore. And, you know, sometimes I have stuff on Twitter. We have a YouTube channel, all of that. You can find most of the links through my website or through my Facebook page.
Fantastic. And like I said, Kim and I'll be at the Body, Mind, Spirit Fair. We'll have our own room and we've got all kinds of stuff going on. So if you want to join us there, if you want to connect with me on Facebook, I am Cynthia Rose Medium and my website, CynthiaRoseMedium.com. We'd love to see you at the fair. And you can come and get a copy of Kim's book and she'll sign it for you. You can get a copy of my CD. And we do give out free hugs, right?
Yes, hugs are free for everyone.
Yes. I always say you need 4 hugs to survive and 12 to thrive.
Well, that works. Or all at once would be good too. So I'm all about the hugs.
Yep. Hugs are important. It's so important that we acknowledge ourselves. I don't know, we've got just about 2 minutes left. Is anything about the book you want to share with people? Remind them of the title again, of course.
Life After Life, Connecting with Your Loved Ones in the Spirit World.
Thank you so much, Kim. And I'll see you at lunch.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.